Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to episode of Nerd Out Sanctuary. It's been a while. I am your host, sweaty as fuck Mike. It's really hot in my apartment, so I apologize if I am really gross and pretty fucking sweaty and my hair's all over the place. I got some water, some cool water that will probably warm up in the next 5 fucking seconds because the air conditioning doesn't fucking circulate in this goddamn apartment. I know, it's been like a constant through line of me shitting on this apartment, but, you know, I'll be leaving sooner, I still have a decent amount of the year to go, but, I mean, again, you know, I like living by myself, but it's just the apartment itself is just really annoying. But anyway, how are you guys doing? I know, I apologize, it's been 2 weeks since my last, my last episode, my last activity on this channel or in this podcast. So yeah, I apologize for that. It's just, you know, I've been working. If you look closely at the video, I think you can probably see a good solid tan line because, you know, I wear a hard hat every day. So pretty much from here up, if you're just listening, I'm putting up my eyebrow line up is pure white, and then everything below that is all tan. Even my arms, you can see, like, that's kind of tan, and then all white. Like, you can even see my arm. It's developing those tan lines, so yeah, work's been kind of crazy, and I think it's gonna stay pretty crazy, and I'm trying my best to get these out to you, and it's been a little bit hard. Sorry, I need to cool off with some water that's kind of lukewarm already, but anyway. So yeah, we got a pretty packed episode here for you today. So I hope you buckle in, and hopefully you're going to be along for the ride, because it's going to be an interesting one today, guys. I got some stuff that I really want to talk about, and there's a lot has kind of happened. I've watched a decent amount. I'm going to be going over another 5 of my top 100, keep going down the list, which I'm kind of excited about. I'm just really excited to do one of these again. I love recording, and I love doing this, and I love, you know, talking about the shit that I love talking about. So without further ado, let's just get right into this. So the first thing I'm talking about today, guys and gals, is a Netflix original series that just recently released, I think at the end of May, so it was like maybe a couple weeks ago it got released, but it's called Space Force. Yeah, that's right, I'm going to review Space Force. If you don't know anything about this show, that's fine. It basically, what happens in the show is that the U.S. government creates a 6th branch of the armed forces, and they call it Space Force. And then, you know, a newly promoted, what I think, four-star general, Steve Carell's character, he plays, what's his name, Mark Naird, General Mark Naird, and he is put in charge of said Space Force. And I think he's instructed to get boots on the moon by 2024. So pretty much colonize the moon by 2024. And, you know, obviously you run into a bunch of obstacles along the way, including other rival nations such as China. So yeah, it's really great. It's a comedy. It's kind of like in the same vein as The Office or Parks and Rec or what's the other one that I'm missing? Crap. It doesn't matter. It's sort of vein of that, but it was created by Steve Carell and Greg Daniels, so, you know, comedic talent behind this one. What I really loved about this show, sorry, I'm just like, I'm getting really hot already. What I love about this show is the characters. I mean, granted, the premise is also hilarious, you know, having a, like, creating another branch of the armed forces and just calling it Space Force is just hilarious in itself and just really ridiculous. But, you know, not too far in the future, I probably, you know, with SpaceX, and, you know, they just launched a rocket, I believe. So, yeah, kind of crazy stuff, but, I mean, just, you know, a branch of the armed forces run by Steve Carell is really hilarious, and the way he plays Mark Naird is sort of kind of like Michael Scott from The Office, not as, like, embarrassing and, like, you know, ignorant and out of touch and stuff. I mean, he is a four-star general. But, like, you know, you see the Michael Scott there, which is really funny. And it's Steve Carell. You know, it's Steve Carell's quirkiness, which is really great. But, yeah. When I was trying to, like, really, like, look into this and, like, looking into a way to review this show, I really couldn't really find anything really to say about it other than, like, it's just a really fun, enjoyable show that has a lot of heart to it with the characters, with Steve Carell's character. It was surprisingly, like, a surprising amount of uplifting moments, you know, with character monologues and just kind of, you know, what it will take to for us to get to the moon and, you know, whether we should be going to war over the moon and stuff like that. Just kind of, I don't know. It was very interesting. Some a little bit more thoughtful type of stuff that I really didn't expect from a show like this. I mean, again, there's a lot of moments that you had me laughing out loud, which is hard to do. I mean, the only thing that I could really say about the show that kind of disappointed me was just the length. I you know, by the end, after the last episode, there's 10 episodes, each episode's a half an hour long, so it's a five hour total runtime pretty much. I just kind of really wanted more. I found myself really, really wanting more. I thought maybe, I mean, again, comedies usually don't run in like 45 or hour episodes, but, you know, I don't know, I found the characters interesting enough and the story investing enough for me to watch more. And that was kind of the only thing that disappointed me. But even then, that's really not a knock to the show. It's really just the show really getting me to want more. And that's, you know, that's a goal. That's the goal. Every goal of every TV show is for you to get hooked and to want to watch more. So that's what this does well. And that's really the only thing that I really could find wrong with it. Other than that, I love pretty much every episode. Every single, you know, character is great. I kind of want to run down. There's a lot of really great comedic talent here. I mean, you have Steve Carell, obviously. He's the main lead. He's fucking great. We have John Malkovich, which is another lead. And I think the relationship between John Malkovich's character and Steve Carell, Dr. Adrian Mallory, and General Mark Naird, both of their relationship is kind of the heart and soul of the show. Them getting along and, like, respecting one another and becoming friends is just, like, I don't know, it was really touching. There's a lot of really touching moments and a lot of really cool contemplative moments that I didn't really expect from a show like this. I keep saying that, but it's true. I mean, there's a lot of things that I didn't expect from watching this. I thought it was just going to be a general comedy, and it was more than that. It kind of like The Office and Parks and Rec in a way. You know, yes, it's really funny, but also can be really hopeful and uplifting and, you know, good. You know, can take some good, you know, life lessons from it as well, which is always a good thing, which makes it, you know, accessible to pretty much everyone. I think everyone would pretty much love this one. So those two are great, and their relationship with one another is the most entertaining part of the show. Ben Schwartz, he plays Jean Ralphio in Parks and Rec. He kind of plays a little just like a more downplayed version of Jean Ralphio in this one. He's like the social media manager of the general, which is really funny. He's actually pretty hilarious. Mark Naird's daughter, played by Deanna Silvers, she's pretty good. She's also kind of an interesting character. I mean, you spend some time with her. I mean, she can be kind of annoying, but she's also, you know, an adolescent teenage girl, so I mean, that's just gonna happen. This character, Tawny Newsome, we focus on her for a little bit. She plays Captain Angela Ali, who is a helicopter pilot who wants to aspire to become an astronaut, and she's selected to be part of the first, you know, mission or Space Force mission to the moon, which is really cool. Her character's relationship with Dr. Chan, which was really played by Jimmy O. Yang. Another really good comedic talent. He was hilarious in the show. I loved his performance. I loved his character. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of other side, like, cameos that you, like, from people that you'll recognize that are in this show. That's really great. I mean, everyone brings it comedically. I mean, the comedic beats hit really hard. obviously. I mean, it's a show created by Steve Carell and Greg Daniels. It's gonna be funny, at least. You're at least gonna get some laughs. But again, what makes this show really great and really kind of put it, a tier above some other comedies is just, you know, how kind of meaningful some scenes are and how investing the characters are. That's why I love this show. I thought it was really great. If what I said kind of, you know, intrigues you in any way, I would definitely check this one out. Maybe watch the trailer if it, you know, seems to be like a good time, because it is. It's a really great time. Plus, the small moments with Steve Carell's character are really great when he like talks to himself and he sings to himself. Those are really hilarious. And that really, you know, Steve Carell can really, you know, flex his comedic muscles in that way, which is really great. And he's just a legendary, you know, comedic performer. So, I mean, we all know this. We've all watched The Office. I mean, come on now. It's Steve Carell. He's the shit. So, yeah, definitely, if you like The Office and Parks and Rec and shows like that, definitely check this one out. This one's really great. I mean, an argument can be made that this, well, maybe not better than The Office or Parks and Rec. I mean, those are kind of legendary shows. And this one needs a little bit more seasons to build up that, you know, I don't know, that repertoire, if you would. But yeah, Space Force, check it out. It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix original. Definitely check it out. All right, so moving on to my next topic. We're talking about a film, actually. We're talking a film, and it's called The Peanut Butter Falcon. I know that this film was in my top 10 list of 2019 film discussion. It wasn't in my list because I didn't see it at the time. Now, I guess we'll get into whether or not it would make it in there or not after I go through, you know, the details of the story. But if you're unfamiliar with The Peanut Butter Falcon, it's about a young man who suffers from Down syndrome. His name's Zach, and he runs away from his in-home care facility. Well, it's pretty much just kind of like a nursing home. Because, you know, his family pretty much just abandoned him, and that's just his only place to go. But he runs away from his care facility hoping to, fulfill his dream of becoming a professional wrestler, which is great. And he meets Shia LaBeouf's character along the way named Tyler. And Dakota Johnson is a caregiver at the previously said care facility, and she's instructed to pretty much go out and find Zach and bring him back. And that's the general plot of the film. That's where we start out. And, like I said, it stars Dakota Johnson and Shia LaBeouf, who are both great, and I'll get into a little bit more specifics about them. But the guy who plays Zach is named Zach Gottsagen, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and he's phenomenal. We'll get into that a little bit more later. But like I said, this didn't make my top 2019 list, but it was in the long list of films that I didn't see that I thought possibly could have had a chance to make it in. So, yeah, I would definitely check out that video if you haven't already. It's on my YouTube channel. Or you can, you know, just listen to the entire podcast episode. That would be also awesome. So, yeah, do whatever the fuck you want, guys. But anyway, getting back to the film. Now, after watching this film, I kind of really thought about it. It honestly probably could have made the list. I think out of all the films that I've seen after I made that list that came out in 2019, I think this one probably has the highest chance of probably making it into that list. I don't know if it would, because I don't know if I would want to kick Knives Out or not. But I don't know. But, you know, this film, again, like, when you're watching a film like this that's a drama, has a lot of comedic moments to it, and just has a lot of heart to it, what makes those films really good, a good way to gauge how good the film is for you, is after you watch it, ask yourself, would I watch that again, and would I show people this movie? And if the answer is yes, then it's a really good film. And that was my answer after watching this. I personally love showing films to people that they haven't seen and I've seen and I love. And this is definitely one of those types of films that I would show other people, because I think it's a really, really good story, and it's kind of an important story, especially for, you know, understanding and like understanding ways to maybe like just treat people who suffer from mental illness, such as, you know, mental disabilities, such as Down syndrome and autism, and just kind of, you know, treating them just like regular people, because they are, you know, regular people. They're just, you know, they're just different, you know. It's just they look at the world differently than we do. They probably look at, honestly, the best parts of the world rather than, you know, like, you know, me, who like sees the worst in everything pretty much. You know, you look at 2020 and it's kind of hard to find good things about this year. But, you know, I don't know. The film itself, you know, it's not like an Oscar baity type of film, like with the performances, like especially with the actors of Shia LaBeouf, who is such an underrated actor. I mean, I know he's memed and he did a lot of weird shit, and it was always, you know, the cool thing to make fun of Shia LaBeouf back in the day. But like now, man, like I've been seeing him like with his performances in Fury and this film, and his film called A Honey Boy that apparently he's amazing in. Like, he's just a phenomenal actor, and like I hope he keeps doing acting and he keeps being it pops up some films, because he's a fantastic actor. And I didn't see him in this in any film that I've watched him. I don't see Shia LaBeouf. I see his character, which is a sign of a really good actor. I mean, even with those like Oscar baity performances that have won Oscars in the past, like you watch the performance and you're just like, well, I just kind of see the actor here. You know, those really long drawn out monologues that really people don't really talk like that and people don't act like that. It's just, you know, entertaining to watch. But, you know, like the, like here it's real people, and it's, you know, I don't know. It just seemed like very relatable. And, you know, especially if, you know, you deal with, you know, not really having a family, but like you find a family of your own, which is really cool. You know, it just has like the best thing I can describe this film is that it just has a lot of heart to it, and it's very heartfelt, and it has a really great ending. And I don't know, it's a really good feel good film. I mean, there's dark moments in there, and it's kind of a bit of a dark story, but it also just kind of, it's overshadowed with this, you know, ray of hope, you know, and that's what kind of sums up, you know, people with, I mean, like Down syndrome, I guess. It's kind of a good mirror of, you know, the topics that it's trying to, you know, tackle. You know, it sucks when someone you care about, you know, has, you know, a mental disability, because that's always really hard, you know, because you pretty much have, you do have to, you know, take care of them and watch them pretty much forever. But, you know, they're still humans, and they're still, you know, provide that, I don't, that light of, you know, of life, you know. I don't know, it seems like they live life more to the fullest than just regular people, because they see the world differently. And I thought that was really beautiful. I don't know if I'm putting my foot in my ass, my mouth, or my ass, I guess, but with that comment. But I don't know, I thought it was just a very beautiful experience with this film. So, I mean, with that, I loved it. I think maybe the only problem with the film is that I kind of wanted to see a little bit more about Shia LaBeouf's character's backstory. You get glimpses, and you get, you know, you understand what happened to him in the past, and why he's like in the place where he is, and that's why, like, you know, a reason why he's so down on his luck and he sees himself the way he does is because of what happened in his past. But I would like to see a little bit more of those flashbacks that kind of, they're just kind of teased. Again, I understand, like, having a certain scene that is a flashback doesn't really serve the story, like, presently. I understand that, but I mean, they casted John Barenthal as his brother for those, like, glimpses of those flashbacks, and I thought it would have been kind of cool just to seeing at least just one scene between him and his brother. I thought that would have been kind of cool. I thought that was kind of a little bit of a missed opportunity, but again, I understand why it's not there. You know, it doesn't really drive the story as forward. I mean, there could have been a scene between them, like just an actual flashback scene, but they could have cut it just because it just kind of broke up the flow of the film, which I get. But yeah, other than that, it's just a really great film, and all the actors are so good, especially Zach Gottsagen, the main character. He is amazing, and he does, you know, he does have Down syndrome in real life, and he's so good in this film. He's so impressive. It's kind of insane how good he is. Like, he kind of blew me away, to be truthfully honest. Like, he's definitely the highlight. He's the reason why you really watch this film is to see his performance, because he's really great. And Shia LaBeouf and Dakota Johnson are also really great, and they just kind of form this really good familial bond, which I really liked a lot. So, and like I said, not Oscar Beatty type of performance, but like real life characters, which I really appreciated. So overall, does it have the movie magic though? Does it have the Mikey's movie magic? Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Of course it does. I mean, if I would be considering to putting in my top 10 list, obviously it has the movie magic. So, yeah. So, it's definitely have my stamp of approval. It's a really great film. You know, I think maybe over time, this film has a better chance to age a lot better than a film like Knives Out or maybe even Uncut Gems. I would probably watch this one even more. I mean, I don't know. Knives Out and Uncut Gems are really good, though. 2019 was a good year for film. I mean, like, really thinking about it. And, like, going back and watching films that I haven't seen from 2019, they've all been really great, with The Portrait of a Lady on Fire, Triple Frontier, and now this one. It's just so great. This film is great. If you like those heartfelt, kind of dramatic movies, and if what I've said kind of intrigues you a bit, definitely check this one out. I don't think it really deserves to be missed. And it's a smaller film, but it's a really good one. It's a really good film. So, yeah, The Peanut Butter Falcon. Check it out. All right, boys and girls, let's go on to the next one. Where are we on time? Okay, 22 minutes. Good. I'm glad. I'm thinking we might actually keep this under an hour, which is kind of good. I want to keep my episodes under an hour. But let's get into a sort of main event in my episodes, is going on to another five of my top 100 films of all time, my top 100. We're going 55 through 51. We left off at 56, I believe, and now we're going to 55 and 51. Now, I want to just go over a quick disclaimer. I do this before I run down every five of my top 100. All these films have the movie magic. They all have my Mikey's movie magic. Obviously, if they're my top 100 films of all time, they're obviously going to all have my movie magic. But also, I'm just not going to go into depth with all these movies with, like, you know, reviews and stuff. I'll probably, like, say one or two things that I really love about them and why they're in my list and whether they're going to rise and fall. And also, this is just my opinion. Like, this is not objective fact. These are the 100 best films ever made, and there's no other, you know, 100 films that are better than these. This is my opinion. This is not objective fact. Just keep that in mind when you're, you know, watching these. But anyway, so let's just get into number 55 here. And number 55 goes to a recent film. I think it came out in 2014. It's called Whiplash. That's right, Whiplash. Stars Miles Teller and J.K. Simmons, about a young man who goes to a music school. I forget exactly what the music school is called, but he enters a jazz band as a drummer, and the jazz band conductor is played by J.K. Simmons, and it's one of the most intense films that you could probably see, some of the best scenes that you'll ever see, and I think it has one of the greatest endings I have ever seen out of a film, and it's also kind of ambiguous because it can kind of be taken one way or the other. You can view it as a good ending, but it also, the director has actually spoken out that the ending of this one is actually really dark to him. So, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything for anyone because this is a more recent film. I don't think a lot of people have seen this. I mean, it was a pretty big deal when it came out in 2014 amongst, you know, the film community. I mean, this one is kind of almost, It topped a lot of lists for, like, even number ones of the year, and it was definitely my favorite film of the year. Whiplash was awesome, and it came out in such a phenomenal year for movies. I think 2014, right? I believe. Let's just check real quick here. I believe it came out in 2014. Does it say? Yeah, 2014, October 10th. Yeah, that was a huge year for film. I mean, talking about a couple of films that made my top 100 came out in 2014. That was a really great year. That was kind of the year that cemented my love for movies. But yeah, number 55 goes to Whiplash. Now, moving on to another film that came out a year before in 2013, is number 54 is Prisoners. Yeah, Prisoners. Denis Villeneuve's Prisoners. Probably his best film other than Blade Runner 2049, in my opinion. So that kind of spoils, you know, that Blade Runner 2049 is kind of high on this list. But anyway, we're not talking about 2049, we're talking about Prisoners. Now, this film was my first ever introduction to Denis Villeneuve, the director. He is, if you don't know who he is, he's directed this movie, like I said, Blade Runner 2049, Sicario, Arrival, a smaller film called Enemy, which is one of the weirdest films and has one of the scariest endings I've ever fucking seen in my life. But good movie. But yeah, and he's directing the Dune film, the Dune remake, which I believe is going to be fucking incredible. I mean, again, I'm probably going to be talking about that film, the whole Dune as a franchise, I guess, when that trailer drops. I'm probably going to do a Why I Love episode on Dune, because Dune is the shit. And I think his Dune remake is going to be great. But this put me on Denis Villeneuve. This is a really dark film, but has some of the best acting, I believe, of all time, and has some of the best writing of all time, just the way the story goes and the way it ends up, and has the perfect ending to it as well, and just the feel. He just captures the feel and the tone. He just understands atmosphere very well. I think probably more than any other director working today, and that's saying something. I mean, that's more than Nolan, Spielberg, Scorsese, Tarantino. I think Denis just understands the concept of capturing atmosphere more than anyone else that I've ever seen from a director standpoint, and just the talent that he has around him, and he gets the best out of everyone. You know, he has Roger Deakins as a cinematographer. I don't know if he has Roger Deakins as a cinematographer for the Dune film. I don't believe so, but he did for 2049, and he did for this film, I believe. So, if you haven't seen Prisoners, again, it's a really dark story. I mean, it's about young girls being abducted and, you know, people trying to find them. It's a really dark, fucked up story, but it's a really good one, and it's worth seeing if that, you know, intrigues you any. And if you're a fan of Denis Villeneuve, you've seen this film. I mean, come on now. In my personal opinion, it's his best, other than 2049, but that's my personal opinion. Okay, so moving on to number 53, I think I mentioned Christopher Nolan, so here he is again on this list. I'm going The Prestige for number 53, yes, that film starring Hugh Jackman. Also, he stars in Prisoners previously, so it's another connection with these two films, but, you know, it has, you know, Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale, they're two rival magicians. If you haven't seen The Prestige, do yourself a fucking favor and watch The Prestige. It has one of the craziest endings, crazy twist endings of all time. I'm looking at the fucking tomato meter, and it's actually pretty different. You know, it has 75% on Rotten Tomatoes, but 92% audience score. Man, I would go with the audience score on this one. I don't know who's not liking The Prestige. And just, he does a phenomenal job of making the title of the film incredibly relevant to the story, because the whole concept of The Prestige is the reveal, you know? Like, they, you know, Michael Caine is narrating the story at the very beginning, and he's describing the format of, you know, a magic trick. You know, how it's important not just to make something disappear, but you have to bring it back. And that is what the prestige refers to. So, just, it's just filmmaking at its best, you know, and just the directing and just the way, again, capturing the time is really cool. And just the film can be really intense at times, and both Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale are phenomenal. It's one of my favorite performances by both of the actors. I mean, there's a reason why this film is really high on my list. And yeah, if you're a Nolan fan, if you haven't seen this one, what are you doing? Definitely check this one out. I think this was before Batman Begins, I believe. So, yeah. Nolan was on the come up with this one. And I think this one was highly missed as well. So, yeah, definitely check this one out if you haven't. So, yeah, moving on up to number 52, we have a film by the Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan Coen. We have No Country for Old Men. Now, this film, again, is really dark, very graphic at times, possibly one of the most intense films I've ever seen. This film does a really interesting choice in having absolutely no musical score. There's literally no music in this film, I believe. I'm almost positive there's no musical tracks, which just kind of, it adds a certain intensity to it. I don't know. It's just like there's no, it just seems like there's no breathing almost with this film. And this really put Javier Bardem on the map. This is probably one of the most iconic villain performances of all time. I think this is one of the most iconic villains of all time, Anton Chigurh. I mean, holy shit, man. He is fucking scary in this film, man. It's almost like a horror movie character. He's almost supernatural in his ability to just fucking kill people. But yeah, so definitely a great film, a really great concept too. Great ending, very surprising, the story, not a typical story, especially dealing with the main characters and their fates, yeah, spoiler alert, I guess, but yeah, if you haven't seen seen No Country for Old Men, definitely check it out. It stands up. I mean, again, it came out in 2007, which is not that long ago, but definitely seems like the critics like it a little bit more, but the audience score still likes it. Audience score is 86%, and tomato meter is 93%. Definitely agree with the critics with this one. This film is really great, and a really great Coen Brothers film. Surprisingly incredibly intense, so yeah, definitely check this one out. So moving on to another film that has a similar type of reception in terms of Rotten Tomatoes, also has the title, the word men in the title, and we're going for a hard sci-fi film, one of my favorite genres, and we are going with Children of Men for number 51. Definitely one of the darkest films you can watch, but I mean, one of the films that is really dark but also has a really uplifting and hopeful ending. So again, it fits that hard sci-fi genre, so that's kind of, that could turn some people away, but hopefully it doesn't, because this film is incredibly special, has some of the most iconic scenes in film history, you know, those really long one takes that are really intense. I mean, I think a lot of people have seen that car scene, you know, the one the camera's in the car and it's like revolving around all the characters and shit's, you know, happening around them. And just the ending sequence to this film is mind-blowing, how they did it, how Alfonso Cuarón did this. He directs it, and yeah, just the shots that he gets, it's very beautiful, and it's in its dark dystopian atmosphere, and especially at the very end, it's a very hopeful end, but it's a very intense film. It's very bare-knuckled type of story. Clive Owen's best performance, in my opinion. A lot of really good actors are in this. I mean, you have Clive Owen, Julianne Moore, Michael Caine, Chiwetel Ejiofor before 12 Years a Slave, before he was big. Charlie Hunnam, I believe, before Sons of Anarchy as well. So there's a lot of really good acting talent in here, and I don't understand why people don't like this film, but I was just, like, rating a rotten score already. I was like, you know what? Your opinion doesn't fucking matter. You don't like Children of Men. It's phenomenal. There's a reason why it's 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, yeah, that's the next five of my list. I didn't really talk about whether they're going to rise and fall in the future, because we're kind of getting to the point of my list where they're all pretty set in stone. When you get to those, like, mid-50s down, I mean, maybe they'll, like, change a spot here or there, but they're all pretty set in stone that they're going to be in my top 100. They're my top 100 films of all time. We're getting to the real heavy hitters, I mean, especially with this list. I mean, holy shit. I watch these movies. I revisit these movies regularly. So, yeah. If you haven't seen any of them, do yourself a favor, man. Like, don't miss these. So, that was my next five of my top 100, number 55 through number 51. Okay, moving on to another topic that's very interesting. Sony just did their PS5 reveal event, I believe, I think 2 days ago, maybe Thursday night or Friday. No, yeah, it was Thursday night, I believe. They streamed their PS5 reveal event, and yeah, I didn't watch the thing live, but I did, you know, go on YouTube and I watched the whole event, which was really cool. It was a cool experience. Now, in the previous generation, previous to PS5, I've owned a PS4 the whole time. That's what I originally bought, and I still have my PS4 that I got in sophomore year of high school. So, and it still runs great. I never really felt the need to get an Xbox One. I don't, if it was like the games, I don't know. I just never felt the need that I, like, oh, I need to own an Xbox One, but I needed to own a PS4. So I don't know if it's going to be the same with this console generation, but with this reveal event, I'm probably more than likely going to buy a PS5 when it comes out. Yeah, so I don't know if PlayStation and Sony's going to dominate this console generation. I haven't really seen anything about the new Xbox that will be coming out. But with this reveal event, I think Sony kind of really, like, fucking hit it out of the park. I mean, they showed some games that I thought were all interesting, and some of them I was just like, I feel like I need to play that one. But nothing really blew me away other than, obviously, all the graphics being mind-blowing. But, like, no game really was just like, oh my god, I have to play that. I mean, I never played Horizon Zero Dawn, which I probably should, since I own a PS4 and I like story-driven video games. It's a kind of a game that I probably should be playing. But yeah, I mean, that the trailer looked really cool. So I'll definitely be looking out. That's probably the one game that got me the most excited. But the PS5 itself, aesthetically, looks fucking sick. I love the way they kind of incorporated the Roman numeral V into the system, like into the front, like, tower. Well, if you, like, looking at it straight on, it kind of has that, like, V shape, which I thought it was really cool. The controllers look kind of sick. They're kind of converting them into, like, that little bit more Xbox controller, which is fine. I feel like that's kind of the, I don't know, like, preferred controller, even though I liked the PS4 controllers. I liked how, like, kind of smooth they were. So, I don't know. Whatever. That might just be me. So, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a controller. But the controllers were white, so I kind of had a weird feeling that the system was going to be white, which was, I think, was the right choice. It gives that more futuristic feel to it. Plus, it has those, like, LED lights running down, like, the center, which is really cool. So yeah, aesthetically pleasing, looks really sick. But yeah, so the PS5, again, looks really cool. The games that they showed were, again, like I said, interesting. I know a lot of people were excited for that Demon's Souls remake. I've never played it, but I know a lot of people thought that was really cool. That Ghostwire Tokyo, I was kind of a little bit disappointed with. I don't know, I mean, again, I don't, it just doesn't seem like a game that is really for me. And I thought that was really intriguing when they showed that at E3. But, you know, whatever. Gran Turismo looked really cool. The new Gran Turismo game. I mean, I was a huge fan of that game when I was playing the PS1 and PlayStation 2 as well. So I might actually get into that. Again, the Horizon Zero Dawn sequel, Forbidden West, that looked really cool. The new Hitman game looked really cool. The Marvel Spider-Man, Miles Morales, that seems really intriguing. I know the Amazing Spider-Man video game was a really huge hit. I played some of it, but I never played the whole thing. It was really cool what I did play of it, though. They showed NBA 2K21. It literally showed just jack fucking shit. We'll see about that game. You know how I feel about sports games at this point in time. The Resident Evil trailer was really interesting. It doesn't even seem like a Resident Evil game, which is very intriguing to me. So I might keep my eye on that. And that film called, that video game called Returnal, that new IP about that, I guess one astronaut, she like crash lands on a planet. That looked really cool and really interesting. Plus the graphics really impressed me with that. So that looked really cool, kind of had that alien feel to it, which, you know, I'm a huge fan of. But yeah, nothing really blew me away, nothing really was just like, oh my god, I have to play that, like, now. But I'm really excited about the PS5, I'm really excited about its exclusives. I mean, I thought maybe they would, like, do some God of War, a God of War sequel. I think that definitely would have blew me away, but yeah. Looks really cool, looks interesting, I'm really excited about it. But, yeah, so, I'm still kind of waiting for a price, though. I don't know, like, I mean, again, if it's, like, $700, I'm gonna be like, ugh, damn, I don't think it's gonna be that. I think it's probably gonna be around that $500 price range, I hope. I know PS4 was $400, and the Xbox One was $500. Again, that was another reason for me to buy a PS4. Clearly, Sony just dominated Microsoft with this past console generation, but mainly just with the exclusives, man. It's all about the games. So if you can come up with better games, you're probably gonna win the console generation if your, you know, console is just not shit. But yeah. So we'll see what the price is. I don't think they've revealed that yet. So I'll definitely keep us updated with that. But yeah. So I'm really excited about the PS5. So, I thought the reveal event was really well done, too, aesthetically pleasing, and they really know what they want. You know, there was not a lot of bullshit. It was just, like, game after game after game, like, displayed, and then at the very end, system was revealed. It was very concise and to the point, and I really enjoyed watching, and it was a really good time for me. I liked it a lot. If you haven't seen it, go back and watch it, and you might like it, especially if you're a big video game fan, if you're considering, you know, switching, if you know you're from PS4 to going to Xbox or from Xbox going over, I'm worried, you know, just, you know, contemplating buying both, because I know a lot of people do that. I don't know if I want to do that. I mean, I know I have grown up money now, so I probably could do that. We'll see. But definitely need to make the choice of what to buy first. So anyway, moving on to a topic that I'm a little bit dreading, but I watched one of my top 100 favorite films. I watched Remember the Titans recently, and that was in my top 100. I believe it was number 92 in my top 100 list, and I love this film. And I watched it again a couple days ago just because I felt like I just really wanted to, given all this shit that's been happening in our country with the whole Minneapolis fiasco and all that, you know, people are being really upset and riots happening, and I thought it was a really relevant film to watch, especially at a time like this, and just how I just, you know, just remembered, you know, it just all brings back like how good this film is. Remember the Titans is just so good, and it's really relevant to, you know, the time right now, and, you know, judging people based off the content of their character rather than the color of their skin, which is just so fucking mind-boggling that we're still dealing with the same fucking issues that have plagued humanity for since the beginning of time, almost. But it's really irritating. I mean, I'm sure there's more relevant films to issues that we're dealing with now. Fruitvale Station comes to mind, which is a really great film that I highly recommend, but it's pretty depressing, but for a good reason. But this film, it chooses that more uplifting type of feel to it, but also deals with this, it doesn't deal with police brutality like Fruitvale Station does, but it deals with, race relations and just, being accepting and tolerant of one another. And I just don't, it just sickens me that we still deal with these racial issues in 2020. Like, what happened in Minneapolis with George Floyd and that officer is un-fucking acceptable. When you watch the video, it's just, oh god, man. Truly unacceptable. And I was never, like, a huge, Black Lives Matter supporter, but now, after seeing that, I'm like, you know what? I understand, and I'm kind of a supporter now. People are mad about these riots, but, like, how would you feel if George Floyd was, your father or someone you cared about, like a brother or a good friend or a significant other? Like, how would you feel? You'd probably want to burn some shit down as well. I mean, people are getting mad about the destruction of public property and all that stuff. Like, I understand, yes, looting is really bad. If you're going in there to capitalize off of this situation, you're a piece of shit, and you should be held accountable for that. But a lot of these people who are, destroying public property, here's the thing. When you steal something, the government and the police force comes in and, enacts justice on that. Rightfully so. But the police force and the establishment are stealing something from you, it is the most valuable thing you own, which is your own life. So that's the way they feel. So who gives a fuck about some monument or some target? Like, I understand where they're coming from. Now, if you're burning down a small business owner's place, then yeah, that's kind of shitty and that's kind of ruining someone's livelihood. So I understand, there's usually a middle ground to be found here, and we all need to realize that all cops aren't racist pigs. I mean, one of my good friends is a police officer, and he exemplifies what integrity means. So there's good people who are police officers out there, and there just needs to be more of them, and less of these pieces of shit who can't control their fucking themselves. There's no reason to be the highest. Again, it really makes me angry, the whole situation, and it just makes me kind of sick when you watch that video and you watch these people who are assassinating George Floyd's character after he's dead. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are we doing here, guys? But that's pretty much what I want to say, and just, watch Remember the Titans, it gives you hope, even though it was made back in 2000, that's 20 years ago, and we're still dealing with that shit today, 20 years later, and we're still dealing with the same shit, from, a century ago. They had riots about this shit a century ago, it seemed like. It seems like history keeps repeating itself, and it's just, I don't know. I don't know exactly what the solution is. I don't claim to be an expert on shit like this and police reform and racial relations. I don't know. I'm a white dude, and we have certain privileges that African Americans don't. And I understand that now, especially with dealing with police officers. Clearly, so yeah, that's what I've been doing. Like I said, that's pretty much it for the episode, guys. And if you've watched me before, you know that I like to, have this episodic message at the end of every one of my episodes, and it's okay to not be okay. I mean, again, this is really hard to say at a time like this, in a year like this, like 2020, where it seems like nothing is going right, it seems like. But, you kind of need to, think about the good things, especially the people and the loved ones around you, and just think about them and, call them, talk to them, and, just know that it's going to be okay, and tomorrow is a new day, and, You know, it's not always going to be shitty. I mean, I've had my shitty times in my life, and it has gotten better with time, and there's truth to that. You just got to push forward and use those really negative experiences as, you know, formative moments in your life. You know, transform as a person, become a better person. That's what those negative experiences are there for. I mean, yeah, those negative experiences suck, and some are so bad that they're almost pretty much unrecoverable. But, you know, most of them are. And to be honest, it's all about mentality and just trying to have a positive outlook. And I know that's hard at a time like this with all this shit going on, especially around the country with these riots and the global pandemic still being a thing. Even though it seems like everyone doesn't give a shit about it anymore, it's still a thing. Yeah, we'll see, guys. And I hope all you are doing well. I'm doing well. You know, again, I'm pretty busy working, so I don't know how frequent these are going to be. You know, I pretty much took a week off. I mean, I didn't really take a week off. I was working last weekend, so I couldn't find the time to, you know, record and edit one of these episodes. So it's hard for me to get these out here because the schedule is so unpredictable with the field I'm in, working construction. It's so weather dependent, and, you know, schedule and like what we're doing. It's kind of hard to really make plans for shit like this. But, you know, if I'm not working on a weekend, I'm going to try to put an episode out. So, like I said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, guys. And if this is your first time checking into me, if you're just listening on a podcast, know that this is also a YouTube channel. I'm on YouTube at just Nerd Out Sanctuary. If you go on YouTube, just search me. I like to clip my episodes up into like smaller chunk videos. So if you want to just, you know, if you don't want to watch past episodes like full in length, you can watch just little clips that I upload. If that's what you're into. Also, if you're checking me out for the first time on YouTube, know that this is an actual full podcast. I'm on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. So if, you know, listening to a podcast is your thing, if you want to listen in the car, when you're taking a shit, when you're at work and you're supposed to be working, but you're not, you're just listening to a podcast, I'm there. I'm on those platforms. So, you know, I'd appreciate you downloading, liking my podcast, giving me a review on YouTube, subscribing to my channel, and liking my videos. It really helps me. It really helps the YouTube algorithm and getting me out there. So I would really appreciate any help that you guys can give me. That would be awesome, because, you know, and also just tell people about me. If you like me and you think, you know, some of your people that you know, some of your loved ones will like me as well, you know, tell them about me. That would be awesome. I would love more people to tune in. I mean, that's what I'm, you know, what I'm here for, is for you guys to entertain and inform on good shit to watch. So, yeah, guys, with that, that's kind of the episode. How are we? 53 minutes. Wow. I thought we were going to be longer than that, to be truthfully honest. But hey, you know, I really enjoy recording and putting these out, and I love doing this, and I'm going to keep on doing it. How regularly I'm going to be doing it is kind of variable, like I said, but yeah, we'll see. And with that, guys, I'll catch you guys on the next episode of Nerd Out Sanctuary. Bye.